Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for us and us. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
After Plymouth ends our unbeaten run, I just don't know how any of us will get over this one. We'll give it a go though. Welcome to Charlton Live. Welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendes. We'll be looking back at the 1-0 defeat, unfortunately, against Plymouth in the first round of the FA Cup. The Addicts are out of the competition for another year, unfortunately. So we'll be discussing that. Joining me on the pod to do that, first up, is Terry Smith. How are you doing, Tell? Are you over it yet?
Yes, I think just about. I think it took me about, oh, I don't know, 30 seconds.
Oh, well, that's good. I've heard that rumour before, but we'll worry about that another time. And also, a man who I'm sure was over it within 30 seconds as well, Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
Yeah, all good, thank you, Louis.
Yeah, are you over it? And does it take you 30 seconds?
Yeah, I'm all over FA Cup fever now. I had it, but it's gone now.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. But we will look back at yesterday's game on this evening show. We'll hear the highlights shortly. We've also got the post-match reaction of Addicts boss Lee Bowyer, which is some interesting stuff in there about players that were involved yesterday. We'll also hear what the Addicts boss makes of the Papa John's trophy, which we're playing Leighton Orient in on Tuesday. You may have heard he doesn't like it that much. So we'll have a little discussion about that. We've got your tweets and emails to come to as well. And don't forget, we've also got Lee Fender, a Chomp fan based out in Australia, who was the mastermind behind the Shirts for Kids campaign that's been going on over the last few weeks. So if you don't understand about that, we'll have Lee explain to you what that was all about. But it's a really nice thing that Lee organised there. So just quickly then, Tell, before we hear the highlights of yesterday's game, a defeat in the end. I guess, you know, if we had to lose a game this season, you'd much rather it was in the FA Cup than in the league. But you do have to look at the performance, because even though Bowie made 8 changes, there were players within that side that you'd expect to have played better than they did. And I think that was probably the biggest point of disappointment for Lee Bowyer after the game.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I mean, I should say I don't like losing any game, and 36 is probably an exaggeration. But you know, you then sort of mull it over and you put it into perspective a little bit after a while. But no, losing any game hurts, and you don't want to lose one. But you know, and Lee afterwards, I think, was more miffed about players that he'd expected to step up. I think I'm not sure whether that's entirely fair as well, by the way. But you know, you talk about Maddison being one of them. The you know, first proper game. Since he joined us, really, he had that sort of 6-minute cameo earlier on in the season. But basically, it's his first game. All he's done is train, and you can't replace Matt Sharpness in training. So I think he's one player that will improve. You would expect him to, at least. But I think what Lee Bowyer hinted at in the post-match, as you'll hear later, is that, you know, it wasn't so much the you know, the touch being slightly off, or the passing being slightly off, or shooting when he should have passed. It's the effort, and I think he demands effort regardless, whether you're playing well or you're not. And I think, by the way, he approached his post-match was that he didn't think he got that from every player yesterday.
Yeah, and that is something, obviously, that Bo does demand, and like I say, that'd be why he was so disappointed. Ben, obviously, you watched it on the stream at home. Did you feel like you had an afternoon's worth of entertainment there? Was there anything you could take from that game as a positive?
Well, I think the main positive was that we didn't get any injuries. And I think going into it, that's what Bo said. As long as we don't get any injuries, that'll be the main thing we take from it. And plus, players got minutes in their legs. The players that needed the minutes, i.e. Adam Matthews and Marcus Maddison, two key players that we need to get minutes under their belts. But other than that, I think first half, we didn't look that good, and it took us to the last 15 minutes where we looked like we might get something to take it through to extra time. But other than that, can't say it was too exciting.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that is the story of our cup campaigns more often than not. Anyway, right, let's have a listen to the highlights then of yesterday's game. Very brief, as I'm sure you can imagine. Your commentators on Valley Pass, as always, were Greg Stubley and our very own Terry Smith.
Sharp surviving, they bring it out now with Forster Kasky. Rides one challenge superbly. Well, out here to Maddison on the right. Anike asking for the ball. Maddison keeps it into the penalty area. Drives it in, takes the shot. Comfortably wide right of the post. But, God, another end-to-end.
That's the sort of football we expect Charlton to play.
And they've done really well to pick the pocket of Plymouth. They try to bring it out, and Maddison has it. Left edge of the penalty area, takes a shot. Oh, my word, the keeper was nowhere near that. If that had been on target, the keeper was getting nowhere near to that. He had no idea that was going just to the left of his post.
To Levitt, it's got two for company. He's kept hold of it brilliantly and finds Williams. Backwards to Levitt. Lovely ball to find Maddison. Maddison, space, he'll go for goal over the bar. Probably should have done a little bit better. He's a little bit disappointed, but great play from Dylan Levitt. Now further out, goes backwards to Edwards. Crosses the ball and takes the deflection. Falls away of Hardy with a shot. And it's hit the stanchion.
It does, but it heads backwards and it falls nicely for Plymouth. We're on a break. And Perrington's committed himself and not got there. And it's Kamara finds Jeffcott. He's got a man over in Hardy. Ball across, finds Hardy. Oh, it's just wayward. And that gets Charlton back in the penalty area, but Hardy's still with it. Ball across goal, it's parried by Maynard Brewer. Shot from Jeffcott, great challenge from Charlie Barker. Brilliant defending from the Charlton man as Perrington clears. It's well held by Maynard Brewer. And that is the half-time whistle as both teams, both Charlton and Plymouth, go into the half-time break. Gobless, I thought it was a fair challenge from the Charlton left-back. Perrington takes it quickly to Innes, who lets the ball bounce, and then Hardy nips in. Hardy clear on goal, and Maynard Brewer comes out, gets the initial save, and then clears it away. Really good goalkeeping. And Mayer picks it up on the left-hand side. Well tackled. And well read by Matthews to bring it out for Charlton. He's on a run now, Adam Matthews, approaching the halfway line, across to Morgan. Morgan goes right to Maddison. That's a lovely ball. Maddison has got an opportunity to take on Watts, approaching the penalty area. Maddison gets it onto his right foot, still in the penalty area, still with him. Maddison across goal. And it's behind Morgan. The run was good. Final ball was just behind Albion. Get to the ball, second ball first as Fauna gets there ahead of Forster Kasky. Now Mayer's on a run. He's got the overlap of Moore approaching the pounds here. Reverse ball finds Moore. It's a challenge. And now Jeffcott with the shot. And Jeffcott scores. Charlton claiming offside. Their efforts going in vain as Plymouth had the lead. Just going up to 60 minutes. It's that man, Luke Jeffcott, just can't stop scoring.
for Argyle this season. To be opens fair, the account.
He couldn't miss because he was left on the edge of the six-yard box on his own. Then can't tell whether he was offside.
Morgan swings it in right-footed towards the six-yard box. Oh, and EK rises well, but heads over.
Got there, just couldn't get over the top of it. Vennie on the corner of the penalty area. Takes it, left foot, chip ball across. And it's a lovely header by Perrington. It's blocked away and saved away by Cooper. So Matthews coming over, saying, I'll throw it in long. Innes has stayed forward in front of the tunnel area with Matthews. Sends it in to the edge of the six-yard box. Innes is there, gets something on it. Innes as well. And it's a flick, back flick from Barker that was going into the top of the net and tipped over the bar by Cooper.
That's a great improvisation from the...
into the corner. Martson trying to get there. That is the final whistle. And this first round FA Cup tie has finished with Plymouth coming out the winners.
Oh, Terry, it just gets your heart racing to hear it all again, doesn't it? In fairness, though, we did nearly took it into extra time with that chance from Charlie Barker late on. But I think overall, Plymouth probably deserved to go through more. I think they created a few more chances than we did. Obviously, Ryan Lowe decided not to make any changes from the side that beat Swindon in midweek. So they were taking it quite seriously. And yeah, like I say, I think they more than edged it for me. I don't know what you made of it, Tel.
No, I think that's fair. I think possession-wise, it was probably fairly even, I think. But I think they had far more attacking intent than us. And in Kamara, they had, I think, comfortably the best player on the pitch. He was their main threat. Throughout the whole game, everything seemed to come through him. And I think what it showed for us is that when we don't have our first 11 out there, you know, that midfield is such a key area, and we don't have somebody who can, for want of a better word, stand on somebody like Kamara, stop him playing the way he did. He just ran the show for them, and we had nobody really enough to combat that. And I think you miss then the likes of Shinny and or Watson and Prattley, who would, there's no way they'd have let him run the show the way he did if they'd have been playing. So, you know, in that respect, I wouldn't say to be expected, but if you've got nobody that can combat that, we're always up against it. And I think we mentioned Madison earlier on. I think all their attacking intent with Kamara tended to play mostly on the right side, came through Mayer and Moore down that right side. The goal came from that direction. And simply, I think Matthews didn't have the cover because Madison was still feeling his way into the side, I guess. I think he was left fairly isolated for most of that game yesterday, and I think it showed. And we didn't really have the attacking guile. I think that's probably a disappointment for Lee Bowyer and the fans. I think there are a few players you can exempt from any criticism. Charlie Barker, really, Benji just mentioned, was, I mean, you know, the kid for 17 is just an outstanding prospect, and I think we've unearthed a gem there. I think Albie played reasonably well without really stamping his mark on it. I think Chucks was, again, a little bit isolated at times. So, you know, I think it's one of those ones. Maybe the best thing we can get from it is, as Benji said again, no injuries. We learn from it. You know what the players that are out there, if they didn't know before, they know what what Lee Bowyer expects from them. So hopefully it won't happen again.
Yeah, it was Lou Jepcott who got the goal, Ben, for Plymouth just on the hour mark. He's their top scorer. He's got six already this season now after yesterday. A bit of a scrappy one, you know, and not the sort of goal that we have been conceding too often. Obviously, over the last few weeks, we had that amazing run of clean sheets that came to an end on Tuesday. So, I mean, again, you probably overanalyze a game like this where there were changes and the outcome's not that important to us, unfortunately. But frustration with the way that Jepcott was able to pick up quite a simple chance inside our penalty area like that.
Well, I think Tel just mentioned it just then, where he said that Matthews had no cover. So Matthews was up the other end of the pitch, running back. They kind of broke on us. And he's made a really good block tackle as it's come across. He slid in there and unfortunately has fell to Jepcott. And he's finished it like a striker would, on a plate and into the net, which is a shame that it fell to him. Because other than that, I think Maynard Brewer made a really good performance in goal. I was going to say, I wonder if, I know Bo said Barker and Aniki could come out of it with anything, but I'm pretty sure Maynard Brewer could, because I was quite impressed with him. There were a couple of good saves he made, especially one where he really could have given away a penalty, but he timed it really well. So I felt a bit sad for him that a goal got conceded in that way where he couldn't really do anything. It was a tap-in for the guy. But we could have had a little bit of cover down that right side. Just Matthew seemed to be a bit isolated down there. When he got forward, there was no one ahead of him to use. But overall, look, we lost 1-0. We've just lost our first game in, what, 8 games now? So we can't be too disappointed. But overall, we just didn't really, as Tel said earlier, I think Plymouth deserved the win overall.
Yeah, it was our lack of a creative spark yesterday, Tel, that I think was probably one of the more disappointing things. Lee Bowyer, you mentioned, and we'll hear it in his post-match, that we again, and it does happen a lot for us, that we do get the ball in and around the penalty area without really getting the bodies in there. And obviously, it hasn't been a problem when we've been keeping all these clean sheets. But obviously, you have a game where you don't score and you don't really attack the box as much as you would like to. And that'd be a disappointment. And it is looking at the lineup that was in there. So the likes of, obviously, Marcus Madison, that we'll talk about a bit more in a minute. But, you know, Johnny Williams, you'd expect to be getting forward in there, and Albie. I think that's probably the disappointment. But Bo said that Chooks came out of it with some positivity yesterday, but it was just a bit flat, really. I don't think that our best chance didn't really come until that 8 minutes of added time at the end of the second half, when Charlie Barker almost scored a quite audacious flick towards goal.
Yeah, you're right. But I think also in that, you should really, when we played the formation we did, which was 4-3-3 with Williams and Madison either side of Anike's, if you're going to play an outright 4-3-3, you'd expect Williams and Madison to be alongside or at least very close to Chucks when the ball gets played up to him. And that wasn't always the case because, you know, firstly, Johnny Williams, I think, spent most of his time as he's expected to, covering Purrington. And also, we didn't really win enough ball in that midfield to give him the service most of the game. I think Johnny Williams suffers when we haven't got ball winners, proper ball winners in midfield, because he feeds off that. And I think he looked very isolated and far too far away from Chucks for most of the time. I think our most attacking threat, actually, especially in the first half, did come from Madison. But again, that rustiness that people were talking about first going back. After a while, first game, his proper game he's played for, I don't know how long, months. You know, there were times when he was in, he shot, and he was keen to, he was forcing it, I think. He was keen to get to make his mark. There were times when he had layoffs that he could have done. He could have played, but there was one particular time he could have slotted in Chucks and Ike, and probably we'd have ended up with a goal. There was another time, I think, Albie Morgan was making a run around to his right, who could have set him up, and it was the obvious ball. But he, you know, I think he was desperate to try and impress, and he went for the shot, which probably, 10 games into his season, if he's played every game, he might get on target and probably score a couple. But while he is a bit ring rusty, that didn't happen. So I think it's just down. I think we look at, you know, we've got a good squad, but I think when you make wholesale changes, that, you know, it's tougher to work. If you make little tweaks, you know, from what you would expect to be our first 11, if you make two or three changes, I think it can still work. Players can dovetail. When you make 8, it's tough. And I think, and that's why I think in hindsight and after thinking about it, I'm not quite so bothered about the whole thing, because it was clearly an exercise where we were shielding players rather than wanting to win the game that desperately, if you get what I mean. And so, you know, making that amount of changes, I don't think there are too many squads that would cope and look as fluent as we have done in previous weeks when you do something like that.
But I guess I would say that if you looked at that team yesterday, you'd say the majority of them would be considered a first team. You know, you could see that being a first team in the league. You know, Maynard Brewer is more than good enough to be a goalkeeper who could start in League One. In fact, yeah, all of that starting 11 yesterday, you wouldn't, you know, your chin wouldn't hit the floor if they started a game in League One at all, you know, including obviously Dylan Levitt, the likes, you know, on loan from Man United, hasn't started too many, but you would expect him to be in and around the first team, Ben. So you can see why I think Bo probably expected more. Now, I think we ought to talk about Marcus Madison, because, you know, he was the one that everyone was so excited to see. And I actually think, you know, in the opening 20 minutes or so, you could see how eager to impress he was. He was the one who was desperately trying to make something happen, probably taking on shots when he didn't need to, because, like I say, I think he was eager to sort of make a mark for himself. Bo said after, and again, we'll hear what Lee's post-match reaction is in a minute, but he did say after about the rustiness, he did say he'll have to work harder if he wants to play for me as well. So clearly Bo saw a couple of things he didn't like, and some bits where there's some room for improvement as well. So what did you make of Marcus's first start in a Charlton shirt?
I think I'd agree with a lot of what you just said there. I think he really wanted to try and make his mark on the game a bit too much. In the first half, he made a really good run. And I think there was Johnny and Chuck to the far post waiting for a ball from him, and he smashed it wide. Which, look, we've seen him do it playing for Peterborough, where he's taken on a few and smashed it in the back of the net. We know he's got it in his locker. But maybe at the moment, just when you're getting yourself back into the game, he probably should have chose a different option. But as you so rightly said, he wanted the ball all the time, which was good to see. He wanted to make his mark on the game. I think in the second half, he made a really good run and he cut it back, which was really good. But unfortunately, three of our players were all on top of each other instead of spacing out. Otherwise, I could have seen us getting an equaliser there. That was good play. But look, he's the maverick kind of player. He's one of those players that can pick up the ball and do something special. So it's going to take him a little while to get going. He didn't have a pre-season. That's why I think, as Boya so rightly said, it was a good game for players getting minutes against good opposition. Plymouth are eighth in the table, as we've said earlier in the show, that they didn't change their team from the midweek game in the league. So we were up against good opposition. So it was a game we could go against with players that needed minutes, but a team have got good quality. So we had players like Dylan. I thought he had came in patches yesterday, Dylan Levitt. There were some times where I think he got a bit overrun. But then again, as we said, Prattley and Watson normally would be there to help him out in that position, to make him play, because he did play some really good balls yesterday as well. But yeah, going back to Madsen, I think, look, he played against a team that, as I said, are doing well this season. And he did cause some problems, but probably just made the wrong decision a couple of times. But look, he hasn't had a pre-season. Let's see how he gets on. I don't know if he'll get a game in the Pizza Trophy on Tuesday. If he does, that'll be good. Get him some more minutes to get him firing. But look, he's a promising player that can do something for us. So let's give him time.
Yeah, I don't know anyone's going to get a game in the Pizza Trophy after Lee Bowyer's explosive comments about that cup, which, again, we'll discuss later on. So, Terry, it's the first time we've been knocked out in the first round of the FA Cup since the Northwich-Victoria game. So, you know, it could have been worse, I guess. Could have gone out in more emphatic style.
I'll tell you what, you see some of the results from the first round outside of our game, and you know, there was plenty of examples of that type of result going off. So, yeah, I think you know, as Lebo is, and funnily enough, I talked to him in the press conference just before the game on a Friday, and I asked him if he had any favourite moments from FA Cups. You know, did he have any special moments or special memories from his experience in the FA Cup? And he went, no. And he said, why? Because I never won it. He said, I got the semi-finals a couple of times, but I didn't win it. So if I don't win anything, I have no special memories of it whatsoever. So he's very pragmatic in that respect. He thinks, well, if I'm never going to win something, then I'm not going to be too bothered about it. And as you'll hear in a minute, I think he doesn't think we were likely to win it this time around either. So going out in the first round is exactly the same as going out in the semi-finals, as far as he's concerned.
Yeah, and this year would be the absolute worst year to win the FA Cup
exactly
as well.
If
we went on some mad run to the final and we weren't allowed, as a League One club, and we weren't allowed to be there. That must mean that the only competitions that Lee Bowyer has any interest in now is League One, because he's won a playoff in that, and the League Cup, because he won that with Birmingham. He hates the Premier League because he never won that, hates the Championship because he got relegated. Don't get him started on the Pizza Cup because, well, we will because it is quite funny. But anyway, let's hear Lee Bowyer's reaction then to yesterday's defeat in the FA Cup. We caught up with him via Zoom after the game. I asked the Addicts boss what he made of it.
Quite an even game, I thought. At times we moved the ball well. When we did, we caused them problems. Didn't have enough people prepared to run forward, get in the box to score a goal. I thought we put some great balls across the box and not enough people in there. I was disappointed with some performances. People that you give them a chance now and you say, come on and like persuade me why you should play in the next league game. None of them. None of them new lads that came back into the side from Tuesday night said to me, yeah, I'm your man. Chucks and Nike, I thought, done well. Thought it was a problem for him all day. Charlie Barker, I thought, defended really well. We said to him there, today was a good learning day for Charlie. Like he can't win every challenge, you know. His enthusiasm and his hunger was excellent. But then you give some silly fouls away, which is learning. Like this is why we play these boys in the cup. At the end there, right at the end, he's against a big forward, Noble, and he's trying to get tight and he's rolling him and then running towards our goal. So, but apart from a couple of minor things, I thought he'd done very, very well. So, yeah, a couple of performances. Ash, the goalie, didn't have nothing to do apart from a save at the end there when we're pushing forward and pick the ball out of the net. But, yeah, apart from a couple of them, no one jumped out at me and that disappoints me.
Yeah, because you made eight changes today, but I don't think anyone was looking at that team sheet and saying, oh, it's a weak one or anything like that. There's a lot of players that you'd expect to be in and around it, really. So is that the disappointing thing? They didn't quite hit the level that some of the first team have over the last few weeks.
Yeah. And some of the first players that have been making appearances were poor. I've just said there to Madison, like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt there, but... I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt because that's his first minutes for us at all, apart from like 2 or 5 minutes or whatever he'd done the other week. So he's just come back from an ankle injury and he's the one exception that you can give a bit of leeway to, but not the rest of them. It wasn't good enough, especially in the final third. We got into some great positions and then just so sloppy, just giving it away cheaply. In and around their box. Not good.
Yeah, what did you make of Marcus today? Because obviously, as you say, it's his first start and he hasn't played a lot at all. But I mean, certainly in the opening exchanges, he looked really easy, you know, taking on shots and things like that. What did you make of his first performance?
Rusty. That if I was to use one word, it would be rusty. At times, you can see he's trying to do the right thing, but it's just not coming off for him. So, but if he wants to play for me, he's going to have to work harder. I know that. And I don't doubt his ability. I know that will come with time. That's why we had to probably push him a little bit today to start. He'll start again on Tuesday, hopefully. As long as he's come through this unscathed, then he'll start again Tuesday and we need to get as many minutes into him, but sensibly, to get him game time so then he can start tidying up on that rustiness that he's clearly got. But you can tell he's seeing the right things. It just couldn't make it happen today. But that just takes time.
Obviously, in this season where everything's being truncated and squeezed in and you've got so many games upon games, there's probably worse seasons to be out of the FA Cup in the first round. Do you think it's fair to say that?
Oh, no, for sure. I've said all along, I never, ever prioritise the cups. Like, no, no disrespect, but we're not going to win it. We're playing in a stupid fixture list with the amount of games in such a short space of time. Saturday, Tuesday, it's just ridiculous. And then they want to chuck this cup in there and this other cup that we're playing on Tuesday. Like, it's stupid. The human beings, the players, they're not flipping machines. So, am I disappointed that I'm out of the cup? Not really. Not really. Not in a disrespectful way, because I love the cup. But the league's more important to me, and always has been, because try and give us stupid games and to play in a short amount of time.
You mentioned it already, but can you temper the disappointment of losing that? And, you know, you look at the team you put out, and you mentioned Madison's rustiness. Again, another side of back four that wouldn't have played together. It's just a learning curve for everybody. And losing's never a great thing, but in terms of the whole scheme of things, a bit of a throwaway game, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, I've taken it. Like I said to you, I think it was yesterday, Terry, that I believe that the side that I put out is strong enough to win the game. And it was. I wasn't lying. You got Johnny Williams on one wing, Chuck Sanike up top, who've done really well, Chuck Sanike, by the way. And then you've got Madison on the other wing. Like, them front three, they're good. But the two wide ones weren't good enough today. Like I said, Madison, I'll give him the benefit of that. In midfield, we Dylan Levitt, Jake Forster-Cassie and Albie Morgan. Like, that's not a bad midfield. Back four, Adam Matthews, Ben Perrin, two good fullbacks. Ryan, good centre-half. Young Charlie Barker, done well. Didn't look out of place to me. So, and young Ash in goal. Outstanding goalie. So, that was good enough to win. Disappointing thing is that, yeah, we were sloppy and things wasn't how they should have been. Tried to complicate the game too many times.
We looked a lot more lively after you made the subs. Connor and James Fenney's coming on. Both made decent contributions in terms of just livening the whole thing up, and we certainly looked more likely in that last half hour.
Yeah, we was on the front foot, I think, but we huffed and we puffed. Ben probably should be better with the header. Said it back the way it's come as a goal. Yeah, some good balls in, but no one gambling to get on the end of it inside 6 yard box. Some good things, some bad things, but yeah, overall we're out of the cup. I'm pleased in a way.
The little back flick from Charlie Barker just at the end there that nearly got us back on level terms. It might have been a double edged sword because you've had to play in another half hour.
Yeah, and that's what I didn't want. So, but the most important thing is we've got some valuable minutes into players. Like, I think it's important. Jake got another 80, 85 minutes, whatever he got into him, like, because he's one of them that we have to rotate. Johnny Williams is one we have to rotate. And we've got a few of them. Chucks is another one. We've got 60 in the Chucks a day. That's massive. That's massive for Chucks. So, especially after he got that little injury before, we've had to bed him in the last couple of subs. Now I know I can play him from the start for 60, which is big for me. So, for the league games going forward, we know now Chucks is ready to start games if we want him to.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We'll be right back.
Ross Cassidy swings it towards the far post. Innes jumps, heads down. Bogle touchdown. Brett!
Hey!
Smacks it in! And Charlton take the lead. That's a really well-worked corner. Innes with the head down. Bogle touches it. And Darren Prattley, the substitute, just smacks it into the roof of the net. Just say to Rob, leave them behind. A little boy in Stella who said, I hate people like you. I got matchsticks and cable TV. Charlton Live.
There we go. Welcome back to Charlton Live. Then that was Lee Bowyer after yesterday's 1-0 defeat in the FA Cup. The Addicts out of the hat in the first round, unfortunately. Not a great day for the Cup, actually. I think Charlton are out, Bromley are out, Hampton and Richmond are out. Yeah, basically all the big ones are out, Ben, aren't they? You know, you'd expect at least a little bit of Cup magic, but that's just the way it goes, unfortunately. Did you watch the Hampton game today? They gave it a good goal against Oldham, didn't they? But
yeah, that's. I was more looking forward to that than the Charlton game, to be honest, because it meant more to them.
Yeah, the this round of the FA Cup, when Charlton are in it, I never find it that interesting unless we're playing a non-league side. And it's the same, like, if Bromley are in the first round of the FA Cup, which they were yesterday, like, you're buzzing. But for Charlton, it just does not have that FA Cup magic. And people were talking yesterday, I said, about the magic being diminished even further because, of course, there's no fans there. But the reality is, the early rounds for a League One Championship club, they're just not that exciting. Whereas if you're a non-league club, then maybe they are a bit more. But that's just the facts of it. And again, I think we can see why Bowyer wasn't that interested in staying in the comp. I don't know if that's quite the right way of saying it, but it's not. He wasn't that bothered that we went out. Right, I did ask for some tweets and some emails on the game yesterday and the cup. So let's have a look at some of those which came in. CAFC on Twitter said, any other year I'd be quite annoyed about going out, but not this year, particularly under these circumstances with all of these games. Yeah, I mean, we know there's so many games to be played this season, and it does mean, I mean, by the time we play in this Pizza Cup on Tuesday, that'll be 8 games in the space of 4 weeks, and it is just too much, and it does explain why we pick up little injuries like we saw for Akinfenwe, for example, a couple of weeks ago. Dorset Charlton says, I know Bowyer says he doesn't care, but every year we exit the Cup, it's a reminder that we can't compete. We don't have the squad, and the same old concentrate on the league excuse has long since worn thin. It's an annual source of embarrassment. I look forward to the day when we can take the Cup competition seriously. Now, Tell, I saw this one earlier, and, you know, I accept that we have made 8 changes, but as we've been saying, you know, that 11, if we put that 11 out in a league side, I don't think anyone would be too, like, no one would be pointing out saying, oh my god, we're not taking the league seriously. There was a squad out there that I think Lee Bowyer said before that he thought could go and win that game.
Yeah, I think you should absolutely say that Lee Bowyer put a side out there expected to win the game, without question. And you're right, if you take that 11 in isolation, then you would expect them to compete and possibly win the game. My point earlier on was that if you take 11 players that haven't really played as a team before, it takes more than one game to get up to speed. You need 3 or 4 or 5, maybe even 6 games to get up to speed to playing as a team. So that was my point earlier on about the amount of squad rotation numbers that I didn't think did us any favours yesterday. But, you know, I do like the stat about people saying about, you know, we do rubbish in the Cup, and everybody does rubbish. If you look at everybody's stats, I mean, we've fared better than most, I think. You know, we've not that far away got to quarterfinals of the FA Cup and got to 4th rounds of the FA Cup. So I think people tend to look at it with a different set of glasses because you look at, oh, we haven't progressed past the 3rd round for 4 years. Well, us and about 300 other teams, you know what I mean? So every now and again we'll do it. And I think if you look at what's happening with our club now, I think, you know, give it 2 or 3 years, you know, give it some time for some proper investment in the club, not just in the playing side either, but proper investment in the club as we go forward. And then if we're in a position where, even if we're just a stable Championship side, or, you know, let's dream a stable Premiership side. And if then we don't go for the Cups, then I can understand people having a real dig. But when we are where we are, I think, you know, let's look at the bigger picture for me.
Yeah, certainly. Right, our next tweet comes in from Coastman, says, I couldn't really care less this year. We are now a club with an owner who wants to target, who wants targets achieved, and a cup run isn't one of them. Promotion, promotion, promotion. End of. Gary Payne says, there's only one cup we won this year, and it's the League One title-winning trophy. Yeah, I can understand that one. Gary Michael says, given the impact of COVID on pro football, especially the two lower divisions, it could be argued that it's never in our history has been so important to get back to the greater financial security of the Championship. For this reason, the Cup was sadly just a dangerous diversion. Phil says, expected result and not a performance expected result, and it was not a problem minutes into the few fringe players and those recovering from injury. With that lineup as basically a second string, we must be seeking automatic promotion. Christine May says, it's disappointing and obviously a bit embarrassing, but we have bigger fish to fry onwards and hopefully upwards. Scott said, I'd be more annoyed if we got through to the third round and got a decent tie like we did in the League Cup this year with West Ham. Bit worried about Williams' fitness given he played 90 yesterday and will no doubt feature in the games for Wales. Yeah, it's interesting, Ben. Obviously, like I sort of said earlier, like the part of the magic of the Cup is those days out you get in the trophy. And as Lee said, we ain't going to win the thing, unfortunately. Definitely not now. But, you know, if we had got Man United away in the third round, I mean, it'd be rubbish. It'd mean nothing. Like that, you know, that chance to go to the London Stadium earlier on the season, it was just basically playing in a big empty bowl. It wasn't exciting at all. Whereas, you know, you'd be devastated if we missed something like that.
Oh, exactly, mate. How many of us were gutted to see that we got West Ham, a new stadium for all of us to go to, local derby as well, and we couldn't go. I mean, it's the year to not go far in the Cup. I mean, look at all those teams that got in the playoff final last season and couldn't see their team get promoted. How many of us can say that was one of our best days of supporting Charlton last couple of seasons ago when we got promoted at Wembley? So, look, we tried yesterday. As Tel said, we put out a good side. But if we're going to go out, we're going to go out this year. It doesn't matter too much. We had some good days at, what was it, Tottenham third round when Jermaine Defoe smashed that second half hat trick. And then we lost to Fulham and Dempsey scored a hat trick then. That was a bit deflating, but we had some good days out. But we can't do that this year.
Yeah, I do wonder if some of our cup runs are the club just thinking, well, if a pandemic is coming, let's get out of the cup now before we accidentally draw someone big. But who knows? Who knows, right? Nick says, not fussed. Even if we got a decent tie in the second or third round, there'll be no fans there to witness it. Best to focus on getting out of this dross league and back into the Championship. A couple of emails as well. Adam Biggs from The Upbeat says, hello, was hoping to see Charlton get a goal yesterday. Wanted to see a return to Wembley. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Hope you're well. Adam Steve says, hey, chaps, not concerned at all about the defeat or exiting the Cup. Let us just concentrate on the league. I thought Bowes was a bit harsh yesterday, as I thought we played some decent stuff at times. I was really impressed with young Vennings when he came on, and Barker continues to play beyond his years. Madison showed some flashes, and you can certainly expect the amount of shots from distance and crosses to increase when he plays. Same again on Tuesday in the Pizza Trophy. Play the kids and give the boys a rest. To quote Lord Bowes, it's a pathetic and a stupid competition. That's from Steve McLennan. Yeah, we're going to hear that rant from Lee Bowyer shortly, because it is a humdinger from Bowes. Right, Mike Harrington says, hi guys, I appreciate I'm probably in the minority that the FA Cup still matters to me. As well as the chance of a big draw, it's a way of raising the club's profile. I felt that Bowyer's attitude to the match, despite him saying that he wants to win every game, spread through to his team. His comments before the game that we now have an opportunity for a bit of a rest set a tone, and I suspect the players felt the same. We fielded a team good enough to win, but the tone and attitude was not as it could have been. I felt with our current form in mind, the same Charlton team, if fielded against the same Plymouth team, but in the league, would probably have won. I personally feel Lee Bowyer made a rare error in approach to this game, and we now have to watch the draw once again without a Charlton interest. Yeah, Bo did describe the upcoming fortnight as 2 weeks off before the game. So I guess that did give an indication of how... I mean, he's always been the same about the FA Cup, and I don't think it came as any real surprise.
No, that's true. But I mean, I think the only thing I'd slightly disagree with in that email is it filtering through to the players. I mean, I sort of get what he means. And if it had been anybody else, then I'd agree 100%. But you can't tell me, especially given the rant after the game, you can't tell me that any of those players would have left the ground without Bowyer's voice ringing in their ears about how disappointed he was a bit. Because, you know, win or lose, you've got to put in the effort, and you've got to put in the performance. And he didn't feel he got that. And I think his impression was that, and as everybody said, you know, with that first 11 out there, it's good enough to win the game. The fact that they didn't, and he was massively disappointed in that. So I don't think any player under Lee Bowyer can go out there thinking that they can just walk around and not perform and not worry about whether they win or lose, because I don't think that'll ever be the case.
Excellent stuff. Right, what's coming up next? I think, we've got one more email, actually. This is from Larry. So, Terry, you might want to speak about this gentleman as well, because we had a nice email on Thursday's show about Matt Tees, who sadly passed away last week. And Larry has shared his thoughts on the former Addicts player as well. Two things I vividly remember from the 68-69 season was Graham Moore's thighs. They were enormous. And Matt Tees' heading ability. Moore's thighs were reminiscent of Jan Mulby at Liverpool. Matt Tees was unbelievable in the air. He could hang and climb with the best of them, even better than Sean Bartlett in the air. He did have one flaw. Nearly all of his footwork on the ball meant he fell over a lot. I will always remember his header against Arsenal in the Cup in 1969. I think he dived a foot off the ground for about a 3 foot to head a ball amongst an Arsenal back five that did not mind kicking ahead instead of a ball. I think it hit the post or narrowly missed. My favourite player of the 60s. Rest in peace, Matt Tees. A very underrated player, as was Les Berry in the 70s. Larry says, listen to most podcasts and enjoy them. Stay safe in these worrying times. Cheers, Larry, and yourself. Stay safe. And thanks for sharing your memories of Matt Tees. Terry, do you have, is that a player that you admired from the late 60s?
Well, I'll read this for you. Wright, Curtis, Foley, Moore, King, Went, Peacock, Tees, Gregory, Campbell, Kinsey. That was the side that I first ever went to see at Cheltenham back in 1967. And although I'm not going to lie and say I vividly remember Matt Tees, I remember his reputation because obviously I was only six when I first went to the Valley. So individuals. In the early days, at least, never really struck out. It took a couple of years before I started really picking up on that. But Matt Tees' reputation from a dad who thought he was a great player and unbeatable in the air from memory was that he struck me as a sort of player that every player loved playing with. You know, and if you're a strike partner, I think you've got goals on the back of Matt Tees because of what he could do in the air. And always remember people telling me how fearless he was and how no opposition player wanted to play against him. So, you know, he, I think he was fondly remembered, certainly from everybody I know who's ever spoken to him or ever played with him. You know, I spoke to Keith Peacock about him because obviously as we've spoken to Keith on many occasions about the team I first went to watch, he spoke very highly of Matt Tees, and it was very sad. I mean, not just because he passed away last week, it was the dementia that hit him as well in later years. It was really sad to read. He'll always be a legend of mine because he was part of that first ever side I ever watched.
Cheers, Terry. Thanks for that. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we'll start to focus on the Papa Johns.
So we meet again and I offer my hand all dry and English slow. And you look at me and I understand. Yeah, it's a look I used to know.
Good ball out here on the right-hand side of Smith. Smith, ball into the box. And he can have fire! Superb goal by Charlton. Brilliantly worked on this right-hand side. Smith with the cross. And Aniko's on hand to bury his header.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. I hope you're enjoying the show. Just before we turn our attention then to Tuesday's game with Leighton Orient, I think so that's how much I know about the competition. I forgot who we're playing. We got one tweet in from Dave Kitchener. Now, Dave clearly, he's used quotation marks around the phrase excellent joke here, but I think he means my joke about Connor Washington was excellent. So he's provided us, and I got to use it again yesterday, actually, because about 3 minutes after Connor Washington came onto the pitch, they suddenly announced the winner of the US election. So again, I got to use that on air. So clearly a crack. And I got a text from one of the other presenters saying it was a great joke. So, I mean, not my words, the words of Nick Godwin from BBC Radio London. So must be a good joke. But anyway, Dave said, Louis, some groan-worthy names names for name observations of the Charlton squad to go with your excellent joke. We've got two US presidents in there, Washington and Madison. We've got a dog, Barker, a cat, Purrington. Alcohol, we have Brewer, Forster Cask, Gilby, and Git Innes. Ryan Git Innes. Yeah, that, see, they all work. See, Terry, I mean...
Mention it.
Go again, Terry. I didn't hear that.
I said that was stretching it, the last one.
Ah, well, you know, I've been dragging out this kind of Washington license, joke for nearly a month now. So. Yeah. Yeah. Did you enjoy that, Benji? Have you got any of your own you'd like to add?
No, but I'm sure you have, so I look forward to listening to your ones.
Yeah. No, I've got no further other than to say that Connor Washington joke was absolutely brilliant.
Can you imagine, given Lee Bowyer's mood yesterday, if you'd have tried to crack that Washington joke to Lee Bowyer yesterday, I reckon he'd have found you in the stands.
You should have seen his face when I mentioned the Papa John's. Oh, well, that's it. Let's hear his reaction then. So on Tuesday, then, we're facing Leighton Orient in the group stage, our final group stage game of the Papa John's Trophy, a competition we're already out of. Now, you may remember we actually started our season with a game in this trophy. The game we were beaten 2-1 by AFC Wimbledon over at Loftus Road the night that Thomas Sandgaard was there, and we fought the injunction hadn't gone through. Everyone was delighted, and then the next day it did go through anyway. So we lost that one. Then we drew with Brighton and Hove Albion about 3 or 4 weeks ago at the Valley. Albie Morgan got his first goal at the Addicts in that game, and then we won the penalty shootout. So we actually have 2 points, but unfortunately there's not enough to go through. Other teams have a insurmountable lead over us in that group stage, so we can't go through. But with the hectic schedule that we've had recently, and Lee Bowyer sort of mentioned something along the lines of how disappointed he was that we have to go again on Tuesday. I did say to him yesterday, and this is his reaction when I asked, does he think that the Papa John's trophy should have been ditched this year?
For sure. They're not for us. These competitions ain't for clubs like us. They're not. They're for the Premier League. So then the Premier League teams can play their under-23s in there, or under-21s, whatever you want to call them. They're not for us. What are we gaining from it? We're not gaining nothing. Maybe a little bit of experience from our young lads, but it is silly. It's pathetic. Stupid cup. No one cares. Who cares about it? So I bet there ain't many people that care about this cup. So, no, it's not for us. It's don't know where it's come from. I don't think it was playing around when I was playing. So, yeah, it's silly. You have like you have a team that can put their under-21 team in it. Like, who's that for? That's not a rule. What sort of competition is that? That a Premier League team can put in their under-21s? Pathetic.
So, Lee, obviously, this past week, a few of your players were called up for their international teams, and you'll have a game rescheduled because of that. Is that frustrating, especially in this season with coronavirus and everything, to lose players to international break and have that sort of disrupt the flow?
Again, it's like the cups. We're trying to cram a million things into this season. We've got these stupid cups and we've got international players now. I'm speaking to my lads. They've played Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday for I don't know how long. And then now they're going to play 3 games in 10 days with their national team. Like, what the hell's going on? What are they trying to do to the players? It's if they're not getting punished enough as it is by cramming league games in, then you've got to throw in stupid cup games here and there and everywhere. And then now they've got to go away and play 3 games in 10 days, 3 games in 10 days with their national side. Like, it's just crazy. And then wouldn't they come back and they're injured for us? Then what? Or they get injured because they've just played 3 games in 10 days. They get injured on the Saturday when they come back to us. It's crazy. I don't get it, mate. I don't get it.
Yeah, Bo does not hold back when you talk to him about the Papa John's. He does not think that this is a Ben. He thinks this is a competition that should not be played, Ben. And you could probably see why. I mean, it comes back to this, you know, chucking in the under-21 teams for the Premier League sides. It's embarrassing that we have to play them in the first place. And it is, especially this year of all years, when the season's been so truncated and we have to squeeze games into, you know, even squeezing the league season in has seen us play 3 or 4 league games on Tuesday nights already. I mean, it's ridiculous that we're still going ahead with this competition.
totally agree with Lee Bowyer and yourself there. It's silly, isn't it, really? I mean, they've loved the competition so much, they've only just named it the Papa John's Trophy a few days ago. So if they really liked it that much, then surely it would have been named before that. But look, if anyone's criticising Lee Bowyer, let's look at the injuries we've received Tuesday, Saturday, playing those games lately for the league to play catch-up. We've had Alfie Doughty out for 3 months. Famo's just got injured as well. We've still got long-term injuries coming back slowly. Not saying that's resulted in it. But we don't need these extra games. We're suffering already. And look, the decision to shove these under-23 teams in for, five, 6 years ago when they come in, is to jazz up the competition, because obviously people found it quite boring. But look, at the end of the day, I personally, we're not going to look back and go, oh, do you remember when we got in the semi-finals of the Football League trophy, or the Papa John's trophy, whatever you want to call it? You don't really, do you? It's only when you get to the final and have a day out of Wembley, which we can't do now anyway. I mean, Portsmouth, when they won it against Sunderland, that created a lot of, a lot of stories about.
Memories and excitement, but it's embarrassing to be involved in that trophy because it means you're in League One.
Yeah, I saw them celebrating it like mad. And at the end of the day, if you would have said to a Portsmouth fan, would you want to take that trophy away and remember that, or losing the playoff semi-finals? Of course they wouldn't. They would rather have concentrated on a league. But because that game was two big teams coming against each other with two big fan bases, where it was a lot of fans attended that game, maybe that was hyped up a lot more than it was, because at the end of the day, it's a pointless trophy. Come on, there's under 23 teams. They're basically like old reserve matches used to be. So look, with our injury list as it has been at the moment, I can totally agree with Bowyer's comments. We don't need it, and we're out with it already, aren't we? So
yeah, exactly. Terry, I guess the only concern now is, then, because obviously we will go on Tuesday, you'll be commentating, I'll be working, is does this now mean that we don't get free pizza?
I think that's the burning question everybody should be asking. I know they forget the football side of things. I think the fact that Lee Bowyer has dismissed this noteworthy trophy. I mean, according to the EFL website, it is the third most prestigious trophy in the country, which is stretching it. So as soon as it became the Papa John's thing, we're all thinking, oh, hello, does that mean just sweeten the press, because obviously the press are important. I bet the players still get one, but I don't think we will. Certainly Lee Bowyer might not, but everybody knows it's just nonsense. I mean, even forget about normal. Even if in a normal season, it's just a joke. And they put the under-23 sides or under-21 sides from the Premier League, and under the auspices of, oh, we're bringing through the best English talent, so to give them match experience. And then you look at something like Chelsea's under-21 or under-23 side, and there's like 90% people from different countries. So I don't know how that's helping the youth of England to reach heights. So even normally it's a ridiculous trophy, but then you add the whole truncated season because of COVID-19, and then he also had a pop at the Nations League, and it's the same sort of thing when you've got so many fixtures squished into a shortened league across Europe, not just us. Then surely that somebody with a bit of common sense would say, right, this season, let's just knock on the head. Let's just forget about it for this season. If we want to, we'll revisit and we'll all bring it back next season when things are back to normal. But for now, we're expecting players to just go at full tilt, two games a week, two full-on 90-minute encounters a week. And it's just, some teams can handle it. The big sides can handle it because of the squads. But, the normal world and that we live in, it's just stupid, really. It's just asking for trouble and asking for injuries.
Yeah, certainly is, and it will feel like a bit of a waste of time on Tuesday night. But don't forget to buy your Valley Pass stream, of course, because Terry will be there commentating, and it'll be going full gusto on it. I noticed actually today that Tom Wallin bought a Papa John's pizza this afternoon, but he's clearly got his head now. He's a real sucker for the corporate machine, that boy. So he's gone ahead. He's gone ahead and got some Papa John's. Hopefully, we'll be doing the same on Tuesday. I'm not getting paid for this. It's clearly got into my head as well now. Domino's is much better anyway. Right, let's move on to our final bit We'll have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we're going to hear from a Charlton fan based out in Australia.
Shinny prepares to take. Shinny takes.
It's a shot. Oh, great free kick. Oh. The power was too strong for Eastwood. He dived to his left, but it's past him. And Shinny, who got the assist for the first goal, now opens his Charlton account with a lovely free kick. And Charlton, just before half time, make it 2. That you're going to be okay anyway.
You know there's no rest. Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to the final segment then of this week's Charlton Live. Now, anyone who's been paying attention online recently would have seen about a fan called Lee Fender who lives out in Australia. And he's come up with a superb idea over the last few weeks to try and get Charlton fans to club together, put a little bit of money into a pot and help parents buy a load of Charlton shirts, you know, with Christmas coming up and everyone short of a few quid, unfortunately, with the way things are going at the moment. He did that. Also, some of the shirts are going to be given out by the Community Trust to people in the local area as well. So it sounds like a great way to get some of the disadvantaged local children involved with the club as well, and hopefully spawn some new Addicts fans. So anyway, I caught up with Lee over Zoom this morning. It was this morning our time, this evening, or his time out in Australia, and I asked Lee how the idea came about.
Well, it just came about because in the Charlton unofficial Facebook group, I'm pretty well known on there. Apart from that, I'll keep it very quiet, of just buying tickets each month and giving them away to people that can't necessarily afford to go. I've lived here for a long time now in Australia, so I can't get to the games myself, but I still like to financially support the club. And I thought, this was probably a couple of years ago now, I just thought, what better way than to just buy tickets and keep the gate money coming in. And people, with, especially kids, get to experience the football. So it just sort of started from there. And then COVID happened, which has been a nightmare for everyone all over the world. You guys more than me. And yeah, just decided people can't go to the stadiums, I'll buy a couple of shirts instead. And then the thought just came from there. Christmas is coming up. Lots of people in the UK are struggling financially. So I just, people know me and trust me on the in the group, thankfully, because of my background with the shirts and tickets. And I just asked if anyone would be willing to donate 2 quid and see how much we can make to get a few shirts for kids for Christmas. It just snowballed.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the idea really took off and obviously Thomas Sandgaard got involved. I mean, how much money did it raise in the end and how many shirts will that translate into?
Well, from the general public, it was around £6,700. I can't tell you the exact figure off the top of my head, but looking at the Charlton official website, it was £6,700. So over 13,000. We managed to purchase 155 shirts with that the other day for the half that we raised from the public. So the intention is from the Charlton Community Trust is to get the same amount of shirts. So we're looking at 310 shirts for kids.
So that's an incredible amount, and you must be really pleased with the take up there. I mean, because you mentioned obviously you're out in Australia now, so is this your way of staying in touch with the club? Because obviously with such a long distance, I guess the fact that if this was 20 years ago, it might have been a bit more difficult, but now you can keep in touch with the various fan groups via the internet and stuff and still feel you're part of the Charlton community.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at the end of our time in the Premier League over here in Perth, I could occasionally watch a match if it was on Foxtel, which is the Sky of Australia. But mostly it was just audio commentary through a 56K modem. And even then, I was very well known for staying up through the middle of the night. And even when I was deployed in the Navy, I'd find a way of tuning into the commentary.
And so, obviously, coming back to the initiative, obviously, it's great to see Thomas Sandgaard getting involved. How did you first hear that he wanted to be part of the project?
Twitter. It was Twitter. I mean, I never approached him in any way. A few people, I think I've mentioned this to the official Charlton website, but quite a few people messaged me and said I should approach Thomas Sandgaard and see if he'd put in. But as I've said, he supported the club just by saving us, really. I didn't think it was appropriate to go asking the new owner if he'd be willing to sort of chip in and buy 150 shirts. So it started on the Facebook group. The message started getting out on Twitter, and all of a sudden, Thomas Sandgaard comes out and says he's pretty impressed and he's willing to match whatever we earn. So not sure if he's still happy about that because he just started rising after that. Yeah. So even the fact that he came in and said he'd match it, I think that gave a lot of people incentive as well.
Yeah, it worked out really nicely. So, obviously, as you're a Charlton fan as well, I should ask you a couple of questions about how the club getting on this season. Obviously, you mentioned Thomas coming in. I mean, everyone seems to be really pleased with how things have turned around since he came in. So, are you enjoying watching the team play from afar?
Oh, I never miss a game. Never do. And I'm really impressed. I think the biggest one to impress me is actually Ryan Innes. I mean, people are talking about strikers and midfielders, but Ryan Innes, what a way to come through. I mean, the guy's had a difficult life himself, and that's what the Charlton shirts was about. And just to see him actually shine for Charlton after just being in the wilderness with Palace, getting loaned out constantly, the guy's a machine. He really is. I think he's going to go well. He's only 25 now. He's got a good while left in him, and I think he's going to do well for us.
Yeah, I've been very impressed. So what do you think we can achieve this season?
Always hope for promotion, mate. Automatic. Don't want to play Sunderland again in a playoff final. I think we've had too many heart-stopping minutes with that the last couple of times, and one of my oldest friends is actually a Macam, so this goes on every year. No, I'm going for automatic promotion. I think we're getting a couple of injuries at the moment. Sandgaard and Bowyer will look at that during the transfer window, January if we have to, but we're going for promotion. And why not?
Yeah,
we're a good club.
Yeah, I think hopefully we should be up there. Well, Lee, thanks so much for joining us on Charlton Live, and congratulations again for your shirts program. This has obviously really caught the imagination and helped a lot of parents out at a difficult time, and hopefully spawned a new generation of Charlton fans out there as well.
Thanks, Louis. I just want to make sure while we're on, I want to thank everyone who donated, and especially the Valley Store shop class staff. I just want to thank Debbie and Jew. They've worked tirelessly on their day off this weekend as well, just to get these shirts out. So they should be heading out early next week. But yeah, just want to make sure they're acknowledged too, mate.
There we go. That was Lee Fender, the Charlton fan. Absolutely brilliant work from him. And well done, of course, to Thomas Sandgaard for jumping on the idea and doubling the money. So it means there's going to be a lot of shirts out there on the backs of some children who hopefully will be encouraged to go and support the club, or hopefully just appreciate the gesture as well. So really well done to Lee. Right, we've come to the end of this week's Charlton Live. Now, don't forget, we're not going to be here next week. It's the international break. Our game against Rochdale has been postponed. So therefore, whatever happens against Leighton Orient in the Pizza Trophy, you won't know via us anyway. I mean, you can look on the website, but, you know, what's the fun in that? But yeah, so we won't be back till Thursday week when we'll look ahead to whatever the game is then. I think it might be like Gillingham away or something like that, but we'll find out nearer the time. Benji and Terry, thank you for joining me. Hope you enjoy your Papa John's pizza this week.
Guaranteed. Depending on what topping they put on it, though, I'm fussy.
Cheers, Louis. Looking forward to taking a piece of that action.
Hey, there we go. That's worse than my Washington Cheers, joke. Right, thanks to all of you who've joined. Yeah, thanks to all of you who've joined us then on Charlton Live this week. We shall see you in a couple of weeks' time. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.